Welcome back to the Roundtable on a Tuesday morning. It is 9:13, and we have our Roundtable panel here with us today. Joining us for the panel today. Everybody okay over there?
Yeah.
Joining us for the panel today, the Empire Report's J.P. Miller. Hello, J.P.
Hey, Ray.
He's great. Such a talented guy.
Is he?
He can do things other people cannot.
Really?
When Libby handed him the Coke and said, can you take the top off of this? And he did.
Oh, that's what that sound was.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
He was a gentleman.
Doing some more advanced stuff.
Right. Libby Post is here, political consultant and lobbyist. Good morning.
Good morning.
Investigative journalist Rosemary Armeo. Good morning.
Good morning.
We're still waiting for Michael Spain.
Is it all right to be a gentleman in these days?
Yes.
Gentleman is not a term of derision?
No. I don't think so.
All right.
That's Alan Shartok from WAMC. The email.
He's a gentleman in his own right.
Alan is?
Yes.
Oh, this is breaking news. panel at WAMC.org is the email address. Panel at WAMC.org. And we will get a lot of letters today. So try to keep them brief. A sentence or two is usually good. Give them a quick proofread before you hit send. Senate Leader Mitch McConnell has proposed a 2-day calendar for each side to give opening statements in the impeachment trial that begins today. Ground rules that Democrats immediately rejected. Voting on the Republican leader's resolution will be one of the first orders of business when senators convene today. It also pushes off any votes on witnesses until later in the process rather than up front, as Democrats had demanded. Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer called the GOP leader's proposed rules package a national disgrace. White House lawyers, meanwhile, argued for swift rejection of what they call flimsy charges. President's legal team, in its first filing for the impeachment court, argued that Trump did absolutely nothing wrong and urged the Senate to swiftly reject the flawed case against him. Alan S. Shartok.
Well, to me, this is, you know, I'm not a young man anymore, but I have to say I've never seen anything like this. And I think the American people are going to be furious by it. A CNN poll yesterday showed that 69% of the population, that's got to include a lot of Republicans, believe that there should be evidence and there should be witnesses. The idea that you're trying to pull something like this, and it is a pure Trumpian move, no two ways about it. You know, it's a bully move, which is we're not going to let you have a – we're not going to do this fairly. We're going to shove it right down your throats. I think people are going to be furious. We see a representative from the North Country, Lee Stefanik, who is now part of this Trump defense team.
You have no other place in the legal system where the defendant, because that's what Trump is in this case, can say, no, I don't want that person called as a witness. No, you can't show any evidence. No, I'm running the show. And honestly, I think that there are plenty of people out there who I mean, yes, they watch the legal shows, but they also have been in court themselves. They've had to go through, run this gauntlet, been on juries, been a defendant, been on the other side, civil or whatever. And this is how the process is. And why is it that this one person, just because he's the president, ostensibly, can change the rules like that? It's fundamentally unfair. And I think that the American people are not going to respond well.
Well, no. I mean, it's just a loaded game. This is not what Republican soccer moms
That's right.
teach their kids about playing fair. It's just wrong. Libby, that was a masterful presentation. It was terrific.
Another thing that I think we can watch out for is McConnell and the Senate Republicans are also controlling how it's being broadcast with the cameras.
Yes.
And so they're
one
going
camera.
To have one camera, and it's going to be panned out, and it's going to be, you know, anybody that's watched Senate procedure on television, which I've watched a lot of, is
when you want to go to sleep.
It can look boring. It's not going to have the what the House arguments looked like, which were much better, you know, well choreographed television. This is going to be boring, and it's going to be running, I think, 24 hours a day now for the next couple of days.
But even C-SPAN's upset, right? And they're upset about how this is being controlled from the visual point of view.
Yeah.
You know, and so
I wish that you were all right. but this is not a legal game. But this is a political game, and McConnell is a master at it. What he has done is made the whole thing boring, long, assured that people won't watch it, and they don't want to watch it because they've already told him, the narrative is already out there, that this is meaningless, and it's just a hoax. It's a bad. It's wrong, and so they're cheering it on. I don't think they're going to be outraged. I don't think they're going to say, "Hey, look what McConnell did. He stuck it to him," and he did.
No, I don't think you're...
And the verbs in the story that you read at the beginning were Democrats reject, Democrats demand. Democrats can do whatever they want. They do not have the votes, and this is going to go down exactly how McConnell wants it.
Well, I couldn't disagree with you more. I do think there's a sense of fairness, Rosemary, on the part of the American people, which is this just ain't right. It's not right to have a trial. And I think that Libby said it exactly right. Can you imagine somebody's on trial and they say, okay, I want what the president had. I want to be able to name the judge. I want to name the jury. I want to be able to say who can do and who can't. No, I understand your gloom and doom message here, Rosemary, but I think people are smart and I think they won't like this.
Mike Spain's here now. Good morning, Mike.
What do you think, Mike?
Well, you know, I guess I am agreeing with Rosemary that McConnell has all the power. But he does risk the appearance. This is all about appearances now. This is about, you know, how people see it. And if he does rush it through too quickly, it's going to look like a cover-up. And people will react negatively. So mm-hmm. he has to at least give the appearance of being somewhat fair.
And alienate the president by doing so. He's scared to death.
And he's facing a tough reelection in his home state.
That's
this
right.
year, too.
That's
so,
right.
I mean, he's in a pickle. But I agree with Rosemary. He's a brilliant tactical politician, and he got where he got by being ruthless. And he may just decide to hit the, you know, the kill switch, so to speak, and end this thing in a few days.
You have to remember that he's got it set up so that close to half of the people in the country believe that the unfairness, the element of let's be good Americans and be honest and fair, that he has put that onto Trump, that he's been unfairly treated. We don't believe it here.
Okay.
A lot of people in the United States do believe that he was treated unfairly.
But if 65% of the
69%
of the people, which must be, as Alan said, Democrats and Republicans.
Got to be a lot of Republicans in that 69%
right.
who say
want
they want
to
a trial.
Want to see a real trial, want to see evidence, want to see witnesses.
That's why
Not everybody's buying it.
That's why if I'm Elise Stefanik up there in the North Country, who's assuming that the more Trump she can throw at people, the better off she's going to be. I'm not so sure she's right.
No.
I think that's a risk for her, sure.
Look, and here's one more thing. The way the polls ask the questions, we don't know. It could be, would you prefer witnesses? Everybody's going to say yes. That's not the same as saying that if you don't have witnesses, they're going to think it's unfair and throw over the Senate. I just think it's like not going to happen. I think it is a national disgrace, but the real disgrace is not that the Republicans did this, but that the American people are buying it.
Wait, see, I don't see any evidence that the American people are buying it. Well, where does that come from?
Well, don't you think that people are not really versed on what the Constitution is about, and they don't understand the argument that an impeachable offense does not have to be a crime, and a crime does not necessarily automatically become an impeachable offense. I think a lot of people look at it, even though it is a political process, it is absolutely a political process set forth in the Constitution for the sharing of power and for one to keep track of the other. In this case, the Congress to keep track of the president and oust him if he's doing something that is regarded as a high crime or misdemeanor. Most people look at it as a trial, and they see no, you know, tangible crime. I mean, when the Constitution was written, there weren't even any thoughts of crimes like this, like inviting a foreign government in to, interfere with an election. I mean, it wasn't a crime.
You would never even need to write that law because no one would ever think that that would ever be possible.
That the United mm-hmm. States would be such a superpower.
Although,
right?
If you go back into common law and you take a look at the British, the way the British have impeached people over the years before there was an America, there was always the concept that impeachment was not a legal process. It was a political process.
Well, and McConnell, if he can get a couple of Democrats to vote against impeachment like Joe Manchin, he will be able to say way it was, you know, bipartisan.
Yeah.
Turning over of the impeachment.
Even
charges.
All this highfalutin things about whether impeachment needs to be a crime or not, that's all muddy, too, successfully by Trump, who brings in Dershowitz, Harvard, big reputation, everybody knows
him. But not
him.
A
he's
constitutional
saying,
lawyer, though.
He is a constitutional lawyer.
No, he's not a constitutional expert. He's a trial expert. I mean, his expertise is not a constitutional thing.
Nevertheless, that's a distinction. I think that's like the difference between the news page and the editorial page and the newspaper.
All I got to say is if
you got a Harvard guy saying, hey, there's no crime here. This is unfair.
Well, Lawrence Tribe, first of all, who is basically a very decent Harvard professor, is saying the exact opposite.
He's the guy on our side, that's all. So you're a person who's a Trumper, and you say, oh, that's just Tribe. He's one of those liberal.
You know, Rosemary, why don't you just become a lawyer for the, you know, for the Trump people?
I don't have to. They've
Trump
gotten
gonna,
really good.
Trump
ones.
Is going to win the election.
He is. Gonna,
come on, Rosemary. This doesn't seem right to me.
And the amazing thing about Dershowitz is he's on George Stephanopoulos this past Sunday saying, George, I'm a liberal Democrat. I voted for Hillary.
Don't you love
but
it?
This is a constitutional thing. Right, this is about impeachment, and this does not rise.
But CNN is having the time of their life. Because if you watched, and I do a lot now, they have put Dershowitz at the beginning, the middle, the next, the middle, and the end, showing how conflicted he is with his own remarks. I wouldn't want to be Dershowitz and his family sitting around looking at, you know, CNN calling me a liar hour after hour after hour.
Well, and Stephanopoulos also kept asking Dershowitz, so is it okay for a president to invite a foreign power to interfere in the election? And Dershowitz couldn't answer the question. He asked, Stephanopoulos must have asked him five or six times.
What statute would that violate? I think that's his argument, that he's a good defense lawyer, regardless of what, you know, whatever the crime or the alleged crime is or the alleged offense is, he's good at making the argument. Dershowitz is very good at making a compelling argument.
I don't know, Mike.
Opposite.
They're keeping him away from the floor on this one.
Oh, I think he's there for television. Yeah. He's there to be after the fact. He'll be on the shows. He'll be making more, you know, points that are in the president's favor and criticizing the Democrats. And I think that's why he's on there. And that's why Ken Starr's on there, name recognition. Mm-hmm.
It's
you
part
know?
Of the whole
it's a made for TV.
It's
as much as
it's
you
a media decision rather than a legal decision.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
I mean,
well, that's
decision.
Everything Trump is a media decision.
Well, yeah, it's a reality TV show.
Yeah.
And the fact that you won't be able to watch the only you'll just see a limited view of what's going on in the Senate chamber, and that the reporters are going to be penned off and won't be able to walk up to senators and ask them questions for 30 minutes before, you know,
et cetera. Yeah.
I mean, you know, these kinds of rules are intended to just to make it a TV,
which makes them a disgrace. I mean, which makes them a disgrace. This is where I'm worried that we're heading towards a fascist state in this country, and that a guy gets away with this, and people say, as Rosemary or anybody else says, you know, well, that's just the way it is. I don't agree with that. I think this is terrible.
That's really painting what I say in an incorrect light. I'm not happy about it at all.
Sounded
but
happy.
The problem, I'm not, I did not sound happy. Stop it. What's happening is we have a class of people led by Trump who is manipulating the disinterest of the American people in what's happening in their government. And that is a bad thing, and it could very well lead to fascism. And I don't think that complaining about it is going to help. I think that Dershowitz is doing exactly what he's supposed to, making it sound like, oh, this is just a lot of lawyer talk. Trump didn't do anything. And people will believe that. Here's what you might look at instead is why we should be reading excerpts of A Very Stable Genius. This is deep reporting done on the Trump administration and areas that we know about, but it's all the behind the scenes stuff. When he's just crazy. Mm-hmm. He is just out of control crazy, doesn't know things. Why did Rex Tillerson really call him an effing moron? The whole
because
story
is
now laid out. No, it's laid out. He is horrible.
Yes.
And that's not getting across. Instead, we just have Chuck Schumer with his little glasses on his nose saying, oh it's a national disgrace.
Right.
I'm sorry, it's not doing it.
Alan, if you were Schumer, or if you were leading the Democratic party's, impeachment effort. What do you think should happen that isn't happening? What can happen?
Well, first of all, he should rev it up as far as, I love Chuck, always have. But I wrote a column not that long ago in which I said, come on, Chuck, you're the leader of the Democrats in this country, or the senior Democrat, other than Nancy Pelosi, obviously, and you're going to have to carry the flag. You can't be afraid of Mitch. And I got a telephone call. I got a telephone call from the staff there saying, basically, we're sort of caught between a rock and a hard place. No, Chuck, if you're doing this, you got to get up there and you got to yell and you got to scream and you got to make the American people understand what's at stake here, because there's a lot at stake.
Well, they quickly have to enlist four Republicans who will help block the rules that
they won't get
McConnell. Right. And there's four potential ones out there. If they can introduce something compelling right away, it might put pressure on these. But I think McConnell's got his numbers.
There may be more coming. We know that. We've seen stuff coming fast and furious now. Maybe they're holding something back. You may be right about that. But Mike, don't you think that Chuck has been softer than he should be? Even watching this press conference last night, I got the idea he was keeping it, mild. He wasn't really outraged.
Well, I think he risks, if he looks outraged, he risks looking, because he still doesn't have the numbers. And if he's just screaming while he's not getting what he wants, it just makes him look silly. But, he's trying to look moderate and reasonable, and it may backfire.
But on a more important point, and we'll come back to this, ladies and gentlemen, the lockbox is open. Incredibly, people have been sending money in without being asked. $420,426.63. Last year, we reached 720 before the start of the February drive. Considering what's going on in this country, get to a phone, 1-800-323-9262. Again, 1-800-323-9262. Put some money in the lockbox or go to WAMC.org. You'll be hearing about this.
Yes, and we will give you more information on the other side of the news. This is the roundtable panel. We have Rosemary Armeo, Libby Post, J.P. Miller, Mike Spain, and Alan Shartok. You can join the conversation with a quick email to panel@WAMC.org, panel@WAMC.org, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. 9:34 is the time, and it's the Roundtable panel. Mike Spain is here, Libby Post, J.P. Miller, Rosemary Armeo, and Alan Shartok.
Hello, Ray. Hello. And so I'm thinking about this lockbox and how important it is to all of us to keep this place going. It's, without being asked, people put over $420,000 into the lockbox. Last year we made 720. I'd like to do it today. Get that over with. Can you imagine if the impeachment trial does go on or if new things come out? Do we really want to have a fun drive? I love the fun drive. Don't get me wrong. But do we really want to have a fun drive at the point at which we have to be taking every second to bring you the news? So, ladies and gentlemen, please just march yourself to a phone, 1-800.
Or a web browser.
Yeah, 1-800-323-9262. Or as Ray has just perceptively mentioned, go to WAMC.org on your device.
Yep, that's all you got to do. Now, about 1 o'clock, we will start the hearings today. Supposed to be in the Senate, a lot of procedural motions for a day or two. There will be 4 days of opening arguments, 2 days per side. Senators will be allowed up to 16 hours for questions to the prosecution and defense, followed by 4 hours of debate. Only then will there be votes on calling witnesses. That all begins today. We'll be covering it for you here on WAMC. I believe it might be 12:30. It might be. I think it's closer to 1. So we'll get a midday in, and then it's off to the races.
Yeah, we try to do it the right way, which is to just stick to what they're doing there rather than some of the NPR pontificators.
Oh, you mean what they're doing in the Senate? Yeah.
Yeah, right. Don't you see?
We do.
Okay, we heard from Gunner, who said, good morning, panel. What longer-term effects do you think McConnell has opted to run the trial will have for the Republican Party long-term? As a longtime independent, This is very important, folks. As a longtime independent, seeing the underhanded way Republicans are handling this trial has solidified me to vote Democratically across the board from here on out. As an aside, I'm very proud to see WAMC's fundraising strength. Well, thank you, Gunner, for that, and appreciate that, because I believe they're putting themselves in a very precarious place, and I think it's because they're scared to death of Trump the bully. That's what I believe. So anybody else on that?
Well, don't you think that's a legitimate fear? Trump has proven how he can swoop into
Absolutely.
Some state or you know, somebody's district and campaign and criticize them and have them lose the election, you know, and lose to a primary by a more right-wing conservative.
Absolutely. I when I go home, I'm always looking in the rearview mirror. And let's go to Lisa, who says, livid and appalled. Alan is correct. People will be furious. The definition of a trial is examination of evidence. I'm fearful and afraid for our country and our safety. We need to revolt and drag Trump out by whatever that gluey hairspray rat's nest is on his head. And that's Lisa from Boqua.
Hey.
You have a way with words, Lisa. Okay. And Timothy says, round table commentary. I appreciate and agree mostly with the high-minded discussion about Trump and the impeachment. I appreciate, however, if the panel would outline the Republican arguments and debunk them specifically. And honestly, I'd be surprised to learn the American people are angry about this. Things will stay the same if they've been for 3 years. Doesn't matter if it's right or not, from Timothy. Well, there are those people who fight, and there are those people who just roll over and say it's inevitable and we're going to lose here. And Dixie says, McConnell is a national disgrace. And then she says, enough said. Like it. Anybody on this?
We appreciate you keeping your letters brief. Well done, Dixie. Good job.
Yeah. Okay. Dylan says, 69% who want witnesses. Sorry, but I think the Republicans who want witnesses are actually buying the idea that the Bidens will be eviscerated on national TV. And we heard from Nicholas, who said, the rest of the country. Alan, do you know anybody who does not live on the coast? Indeed, I do. I have family and acquaintances all over the country, and my social media is filled with people who think the impeachment trial is a sham, that he was railroaded, that he is a friend of the people. He is turning the government on its head and draining the swamp. They think we are elitist and look down on them. And I think the buffoon in the House hearings, Jim Jordan, was spot on in saying that we hate them, and he was speaking for them. Listen to Rosemary. She seems to have her finger on the pulse of the people. That's Nicholas from Tilson. You should see Rosemary's face right now.
It's smug. It's very smug.
You do that very well. You've done it before, haven't you?
And Heidi says, panel impeachment. I'm with Rosemary. She's got the right read on the whole situation. Heidi.
This brings me no pleasure. But, yeah, I do think I'm right. I think that we have been played, and we're losing right now.
Well, you and I both know we're on different sides on this one. I think you got to fight the good fight. You got to say what it says.
This idea that because I think it's hopeless means I'm not fighting is ridiculous.
Well, I
think
hear
you
a
fight
of...
in the face of hopelessness.
Well, I'd like to see a little bit more fight on you, just like Schumer.
Let the record show that Alan is more optimistic than somebody.
You have to be optimistic. You can't walk around with your face on the floor saying, I know we're going to lose. I know this is... That's terrible.
I'll be thinking that only, of that at
that
midnight
only helps
tomorrow
them.
When
Libby,
I'm
will
watching
you...
the impeachment here.
No, I've been saying this for the last 3 years.
Yes, you have.
You know, first of all, there's a lot of grassroots organizing going on that the mainstream media doesn't really pay attention to because it's not all that sexy, but it's happening. And I do think we have to have hope. I think we have to really feel in our hearts that we can make a difference.
In fact, Libby, the moment you start to say, oh, it's all over and he's going to win, then that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy if there ever
Right
was.
Now in Davos, the president is strutting around on the world stage with economic leaders, and they are all kowtowing to him. They hated him last year, didn't even want him there. They're kowtowing. Why? Because they think he's going to win again.
America's economic
turnaround
I don't know how that
helps anything.
Has been nothing short of spectacular, the president said at Davos.
And Gary says, panel Cassandra. Sorry, Alan, Rosemary is Cassandra, the mythical Greek prophetess who told the truth about the future,
and
but no one
believed
her. She is speaking the painful truth she sees with clear eyes. God help us. Well, Gary, I couldn't disagree with you more or with Rosemary more. I think what happens is when you keep being gloom and doom and saying the guy's going to win and it's all over and we can't help ourselves, I think what happens is it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Therefore, I say no.
So you're setting up
that's
that
what
if
King Priest said too.
You're setting it up so you can blame Rosemary if the impeachment goes
it
down.
Will be, and, well, there was there, it will there was be also, Rosemary's fault.
It was
of course.
Also, it was also everybody thought that he was going to lose in 2016 and that Hillary was going to win. That self-fulfilling prophecy didn't come true.
By the way, I agree with you.
There you go.
I agree with you. I think that what happened was when Hillary lost, everybody said, well, how could that have happened? And now they put their noses on the cement and they say, oh, woe is us. He'll do it again.
And,
will make it happen again.
And you have some people who are like, if it's not my candidate, I'm either going to stay home or I'll vote for Trump again.
You have the Electoral College still in place, and all the same forces that helped him to win in 2016 remain in force now. It's all numbers. Nate Silver pointed this out. He has
yes.
as much chance now as he did then.
Yes, but...
It has nothing to do with what I think.
But those states are hurting more than they did.
And by the way, I saw a recent poll which said he's underwater in all of them.
Right.
The president is. Whether it stays that way, I don't know.
Let me ask you this. I think we all agree...
Let me ask you who's you?
No. May I ask you this?
You're talking to me?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Now, do you assume, regardless of whether there's witnesses or not, that the Republicans will still vote not to impeach and not to oust the president, that he will not be convicted? I mean, don't you agree that that's going to be the outcome? And you said that.
We've all said that.
Right
from the beginning. However, anything can happen.
Oh, of course. I think just looking at where we are right now in the state of the world, the state of politics, yes, anything
and
can happen.
And, Michael... they could, in fact, flip the Senate on the basis of what's going on.
That's right.
Right. I mean, that's the longer-term effect. But the question is, if regardless of how this plays out, if he is not convicted, if Trump is not convicted, will that propel his candidacy forward, or will enough information come out that will hurt his candidacy? And that, I think, is the question the Democrats are working on.
He still has been impeached. And that's what people understand.
Well, Bill Clinton was impeached, and within a couple of years, he was the most popular former president ever.
Because
he left a budget surplus when he left office.
Right, but he was also impeached not on a real criminal act.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, there
is
you know,
a clear criminal act than what Trump has been.
You know, I've been reading.
It was not a criminal act, what happened.
It was a minor criminal act which saved him, and that's exactly the same argument they're making now. I'm telling you.
That's true.
I hate the guy, but he's got it. Well, he has gotten a very good argument.
But
and
he
you
still
fast forward
has been
to 20,
impeached.
And you fast forward to 2020.
Bill, will you please?
You also, Bill Clinton had that rise, and now you fast forward to 2020.
Oh, yes.
I doubt that he will be making a speech at the convention this
Correct.
Year.
I got to tell you something. Mike, the engineer, and
Big
I
Mike,
are
Big,
on
Big
the
Mike.
Same mental wavelength. Rosemary brought up the Clinton impeachment. We both went for the dump button just in case we had to go into the 8-second delay.
Me?
Yeah, you kept it
yeah,
clean.
You say dirty words.
Good for you.
Well, I've been reading a little bit about the Clinton impeachment, and I've been watching on YouTube. They have all the news reports and the documentaries. It's just amazing. It's just amazing when you hear the righteous Republican senators talking about how outrageous it was that Clinton would lie under oath and that he would obstruct justice and that he had abused his power. And his abuse of power was, you know, something that was far, far, far different than what the accusation right now is. One of the impeachment articles is the abuse of power by Trump.
And which leads to fascism in this country. The idea that, what do we know?
I don't think so. I mean,
you don't?
And Bill Clinton, the Republicans, I didn't think it at the time. I've come around. They were right. There was a clear violation of law.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Okay.
Unlike Trump. Okay. And so they impeach him, and then the Senate says, no, it's not that big a deal.
Okay. Right, let's take a quick break.
Oh, apoplexy. Yes.
Alan's got the vapors. Let's just take a break here. Panel at WAMC.org. Panel at WAMC.org is the email address. We'll be right back. As Lee Fields and the Expressions from the album It Rains Love. That's our bumper music today on the Roundtable Panel. The Roundtable Panel in session, J.P. Miller, Libby Post, Mike Spain, Rosemary Armeo, and Alan Shartok here at 947 on a Tuesday morning.
May I just say, the phones are ringing, 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-9262, or at WAMC.org, where you can put your money in the lockbox. Folks, we all know how important keeping this radio station going now more than ever. If this country turns into a fascist, totalitarian state, which I believe at least one of the impeachment charges hints at, or basically says, you're going to want to know that you had a radio station that would present the material and bring it out. Please, just get on a phone, 1-800-323-9262 or WAMC.org. Go, Ray.
Oh, it's my turn?
Oh, you want me to read this?
Yes,
it's your turn.
That's fine. I think we have a couple of more letters here. You can get to those, and then we'll move on.
Thanks, boss.
That's all right.
Matt says, come on, people. While Trump is guilty as hell, all the historical analysis and whining about Dershowitz amounts to the sound of one hand clapping. The Dems need to beat Trump in November. Warren, Sanders, and Klobuchar are not the answer. Trump will clobber them. It's Biden or Bloomberg. That's what he says. That's what Matt says. Thank you, Matt. Rob says, question. What is to prevent the Democrats taking a page out of the Republican playbook and interrupting this corrupt procedure? What would happen if the Dems started chanting, we want witnesses, for example? Must the Dems roll over as a result of McConnell's treasonous behavior? Thank you. And that's Rob from Hebron. That's a long,
Where will they chant that? I mean, in what numbers will they chant that? They don't have the collection of people who support Trump, like at a presidential rally in a big arena all around the country.
On the floor of the Senate.
I was going to say the same thing. What, Mike, what if the Democratic senators just started chanting?
Do you don't see a risk of looking silly? I mean, remember when those Republican congressmen walked into the basement and carried their phones into the security room and they looked silly? It really hurt them. I think the optics is what this is all about, and that's what I mean. Schumer may be playing it wrong, but they're worried about looking like crazy yahoos.
Well, they need to be much more aggressive than they are. That's all I got to say. Rob says, "Okay, we did that."
There are also a lot of Democratic senators who have to win in red or purple states. And so those Democratic senators have to, you know, they can't be seen as being that aggressive, I don't think, for those that are in red and purple states.
Okay. And thank you for that. And Beth from Del Mar says, good morning, wonderful panel. Last week, the GAO, the Government Accounting Office, said that withholding congressional approved funds is a crime. Capital C-R-I-M-E. Why does it seem like even the Democrats don't want to call Trump's shakedown a crime? Is there some strategy behind that? And that's from Beth in Del Mar. I agree with you, Beth. I think you're a brilliant analyst.
Maybe we should have her on the panel.
Maybe. You're all right with me.
All right.
Okay. Anthony says, better taking heads.
Talking heads.
Well, maybe.
Missing an L.
But
could
that
be
would be.
L.
Right, off with their heads.
That would be.
It's very Marie Antoinette.
That would not be according to Ray's rules.
What's that?
Changing talking to taking.
Oh.
But maybe she meant taking. You know what I mean?
It's the wrong impeachment then.
Trump's TV defense team gives good camera talk and have been anointed by TV recognition as smart and trustworthy. The medium is the message, Anthony.
Okay.
Jeff says, Schumer. Schumer's between a rock and a hard place. Please.
What?
That's what it says. Please, okay. In capital letters.
You're emoting now.
This is exactly what the Democrats keep doing wrong. He needs to be in a hard place. McConnell needs to get squeezed beyond recognition between Pelosi and Schumer. Stop whining and be, capital B-E, the force of justice. Jeff from Granville. And we also heard from Judith, Stefanik and Trump. What do you make of the upper echelon embrace of Elise Stefanik? Are they afraid of losing the 21st district? Does it give them a woman's face in the front line of photographs, or can I just answer for a second? It gives them a young woman's face.
A rarity in the GOP, for sure. Yeah.
And so you can just say, get more of her.
Well, she also, I think she also did a people would say she did a strong job interrogating the witnesses during the House portion. She also is in a district where Trump has a huge favorability rating. So the closer she ties herself to Trump, the better she does.
JP, you're absolutely right, except for one thing. I think she's in very dangerous territory as a result of doing this. Because I think the American people who go to their kids' hockey games and, you know, Little League games and the rest of it, know what the importance of rules and playing by the rules are. And this president is not playing by the rules, and neither is McConnell, and neither is Stefanik. And I think there are a lot of Republicans in that district who are going to turn around and be angry about this.
It is. I mean, I know that it's a predominantly Republican district. I think it's 171,000 or 178,000 Republicans to 128,000 Dems and lots of independents. But if you go back before Trump, before 2016, that district voted for the Democratic candidate for president right back to Bill Clinton.
And not only that, they voted for a Democratic congressman.
That's right.
Right. They did have Democratic Congress members. Yeah.
It was Bill Owens before it got gerrymandered. It was Kirsten Gillibrand. I mean, you know, that
part of the district.
That district has swung back and forth, and I think, and this has become one of, I think this is going to become one of the biggest races in the nation. Money's been pouring in to Tedra Cobb after Stefanik's histrionics at the House hearings. Cobb raised $1 million in like two or three
Stefanik
days.
But Stefanik has been getting a lot
of
money.
Yes, she's been
also.
Getting, yes. But the thing is that Tedra ran last time, didn't raise enough money. Now she's raised enough money, and she's going to continue to raise money and really have a good, decent shot. She's not watered down by a primary.
Right.
She's only has to focus on November.
I may have missed some of that in the hearings, the House hearings. But I didn't really see her any histrionics.
I saw questioning
pretty much by the rule of the House.
I thought
is that a question or a position?
No, that is an actual. I saw most of the or listened to most of the hearing. I didn't see any where she flew off the handle.
I know only I only say that because you bawled me out one time.
And also last, you know, in the last election was a big year for it was a Democratic wave year. And Stefanik didn't even get close to getting knocked off. This year, if Trump is at the top of the ticket.
2016 wasn't a big blue year.
2018 was.
2018. She was reelected.
When she was able to go against the wave. And this year, with Trump at the top of the ticket in a Trump district, I think that she is well positioned for reelection.
Do you think it's ultimately going to, I mean, could potentially backfire. She's joined at the hip to Trump. I mean, she's his honorary New York campaign chair, and she's very much out there defending him and has been since 2016, actually, when she was running the first time. If something bad happens to Trump, he loses big because of some new thing coming out that just finally gets people's attention. Will it stick to her?
Totally. She's tied to him. If the economy tanks and Trump goes down in flames, I think it will hurt her tremendously. But her bet is that more likely than not, the economy stays okay, Trump's going to do okay, and I have to stick to him.
You forgot one other thing, too, gun regulation. She's also with him, Second Amendment defense.
I look at John Faso, who kind of didn't embrace Trump, and he was kind of
He didn't reject Trump either. He was pretty much trying to walk the fine line in a
I've tried to teach this to you folks time and time again. You can't walk the fine line. You got to be on one side or the other. The people who always lose are the people who walk the fine line.
Right. And John,
if you're in the middle of the road, you get run over.
You do.
And strong and wrong is better than weak and right.
You are so smart.
You know, Stefanik did cast her bet. You could almost see it happen. Maybe that's the histrionics you're talking about, Libby, when she started going after Schiff in the hearings for his, I've criticized him for it too, for that opening in which he redid the phone call.
Wait a second, let's just get that straight.
Stefanik is smart. She knew what Schiff was doing. She knew that was not a lie. It was not, and she went crazy about that. That was not yelling
so
and
what
screaming.
Is she
no, no.
But that
but
was
it's
when
her
she
version.
Said, "I'm going with Trump."
Right.
And this
right.
is there's a lot in it for me. And she's also part of the reason that we ought to be upset because win or lose in her district this year, she's now a force in the Republican Party, and she's going to come back in the same way we're going to see Kamala Harris again. Mm-hmm. So the evil forces of conservatism and all that she represents, it's not going away.
You know what? If she loses, there'll be a cabinet position for assuming Trump wins.
Yeah. Well, and if you look at there was a poll a couple of weeks ago. They polled for the 2024 presidential election. She is currently polling higher in 2024 than Gillibrand or de Blasio ever did when they ran for president.
Rick says, Schiff. Schiff had a chance to bring in witnesses with direct knowledge, and he didn't. He said it would be did take too long. Instead, he brought in legal experts with no direct knowledge that had already publicly trashed Trump. Scary that Dershowitz will defend the Constitution? Question mark. Afraid of the truth? Sorry, it's not a real court. What?
It's not a real court. That's true.
Well, I don't know that that's exactly accurate.
No,
the writer. I mean, Schiff and the Congress in the House Judiciary Committee tried to bring in people who Trump stopped from testifying. You know, people close to Trump like Bolton and, you know, his own chief of staff.
And how about the ambassador and everybody else?
But those were people who had direct knowledge.
Absolutely.
And they defied Trump's order not to testify, and they came. But Trump, the other thing Trump hasn't done is he hasn't turned over a single document. So he's in this position to withhold people on his staff from testifying, mm-hmm. withhold documents that could be incriminating, or at least clarify what really happened on that July 25th phone call. And then he's asking that it be thrown out because there's a lack of evidence. It seems.
However, we have to. Can I come back? Okay.
Brief point.
The Republicans make a really good point that the Dems in the House did not go after this stuff. They did not, for example, go to the GAO and say that didn't happen from the Democrats. It happened from journalists who to find out there actually was a law broken. They did not go to the courts. They didn't do
all
the homework.
The courts,
they were going fast.
The courts would have been a year and a half by the time you went there.
Yeah,
it wouldn't matter. It's a great deal. Because all it would have been, it would be an obfuscating movement, and we all knew it.
So the executive branch then just has to cave in and say, listen, we can't assert our rights to executive privilege.
But he didn't invoke.
Let's even forget the courts.
He didn't have to.
Let us forget the courts for a minute, because then we get into the time element. How come it's journalists who are putting in freedom of information requests and going to the GAO asking? Oh, that was actually a representative from Maryland.
Isn't that how it always is, though?
Afterward. No. Why not? Oh. The GAO exists for, in fact, it was a member. It was the Democrat from Maryland who asked. But after the impeachment had been passed.
Things always get leaked to reporters.
Now we're getting heated up here. We have to take a break.
They did not do a good job.
About time.
Reminder, WAMC.org if you want to make a pledge to the Lockbox. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Roundtable on a Tuesday morning. 10:06 is the time. It's the Roundtable panel with Libby Post, Mike Spain, J.P. Miller, Rosemary Armeo, and Alan Chartok. The email address is panel@wamc.org. Alan, the lockbox is open.
The lockbox is open. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-9262 or wamc.org. The phones are ringing. We all know what's at stake here. This radio station is bringing you what you need to hear. And so it's either, you know, it's on everybody. It's not on any person in particular. If you do $5, that's great. If you do $1,000, that's great. But it's so important. Do it now.
You made a great point earlier that,
thanks,
you know, this impeachment trial is likely or could conceivably go well beyond the beginning of our fund drive on February 10th. We're airing this thing. We're airing this trial.
We are.
And if the fund drive date comes around and we're airing trial, that puts us between a rock and a hard place. So it's best to fill the lockbox now.
Can't run the radio station without the money to run it. It's that simple. It's unpleasant, but that's the way it
is.
We've got to have everybody participating. And whether it's $1 or $5 or $1,000 or $10,000, do what you can.
WAMC.org. You can make your secure online pledge there.
Okay, we heard from Mark, who says, Trump, your hatred of Trump disqualifies you from an honest discussion. Trump is the greatest president in our lifetime.
Oh, God.
Unquote. And that's from Mark.
What is he, about
Mark,
years old or something?
God bless.
And then we heard from Julie, who said, Stefanik lost 21.7 points of support in 2018, from 35 points to 13 points. If in 2020 the Dems have a strong presidential ticket, Stefanik is very vulnerable. Her position on women's rights is horrendous. I hope women vote, and that's from Julie.
Yeah. I mean, the first re-election, after you've been elected to Congress, the first re-election is the real test. It's the one Faso lost, but she won it. She still won it handily. Yeah, she's pretty firm, I think.
Well, but going from 21.7 points from 35 points to 13 points, that's really...
Where's that number coming from? But in a Democratic wave year, she won by 13 points. That's pretty good. I think she'll take that.
Well. You ran the New York State
Republican
campaign for Mitt Romney, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
All right.
What's the question?
There was no question.
I like to hear that because I think it underscores that every single panelist here is not just some guy or some person out there to attack Trump. There's plenty of diversity in our opinions, and I think that's important to underscore.
So well put. And I have to tell you about JP and his cousin PJ. I have to tell you that, I love Empire Reports. I read it every morning. The first thing I do is to get up and read it, and that takes forever.
A lot of links on the Empire Report.
There are.
Yeah. You make a point.
Carl says, Trump loses in 2020. Dear panel, let's not forget that we, the Democrats, won the House in 2018 and the governor seats in Kentucky and Louisiana, even though Trump campaigned vigorously in both states for the Republicans and made it a referendum on his impeachment and lost. That's Carl from Chesterfield, Massachusetts, where nobody smokes.
Everyone has a Canadian couch.
And then we heard from Jay. Good morning, panel. People who are going to be angry need to get off their duffs and Twitter feeds and head to D.C. and protest. It would show the Senate that they can't railroad this impeachment process. I think that's the risk. I think the risk here is that they will be seen as railroading this process and that Americans will not like it because they'll think it's unfair. Anybody want to come back on that one?
Well, that is absolutely the risk. That's why it's not going to be going into session this afternoon, I vote to dismiss charges, and everybody vote, and then dismissing charges, which I think that would appear that way. They're trying to drag it out a little bit to make it look. It's all about optics, like I said.
Brucey says, there's another reason foreign leaders are ... Hi, panel. There's another reason foreign leaders are knuckling under to Trump. They've seen how vindictive and destructive he is willing to be. Is he willing to violate laws to apply pressure? Yes, he is, and they know it. How the leaders are behaving isn't related to his re-election chances, though. I'm sure they're worried about the possibility, and that's from Brucey. And Nick says, equal representation. Does our system of two senators per state and its impact on presidential elections, impeachment efforts, really allow for equal representation? Anybody want to handle that? In other words, every state wrote a little tiny wrote on. Two little Rhode Island and New Hampshire.
Vermont,
they get two. In fact,
Vermont,
they get two senators and one congressman.
That's right.
Well, I mean, that was the compromise that the founding fathers of this country who wrote the Constitution came up with as a way to get southern states on board because they were so low population states.
But what about the question that the writer is giving us, and that is it fair? Is it right? Is it just?
No, it isn't. It was a compromise, like they just said, and it's silly even to talk about it because there's no political will to change that compromise at this time. New York Times just did a big story with a wonderful headline that in some states, horses have more votes than people because of the way it's spread out, Wyoming. Maybe that's sheep,
except that
animals have more votes.
The Bureau of Land Management is killing horses.
Yeah, that's, oh, my
God. Okay,
yeah.
So they won't have as many votes as...
Hey, I'm supposed to be the voice of doom. Be quiet.
Well, there's plenty of that to go around.
And in Great Barrington, they want to put horse racing up, but there's a huge swell of public opinion, I believe, justifiably, against it.
What, wasn't there a big race there every year?
It used to be back in the day. And then there was the appetite for it. But now these people from the other side of the state, the eastern side of the state, decided the way to do this was to sell their real estate over there or get out from where they were and have the horse races in Great Barrington. And boy, you should see the number of people who are really concerned about the health and welfare of those horses, as well as what's going on in the southern part of our town.
What's going on in the southern part of your town?
Well, things have built up over there. So if you put horse races down in there, nobody's ever going to be able to get through there. And by the way, Route 7, which goes right down through Connecticut, is a major thoroughfare. So I think there's something to be said about inconveniencing all of those people.
And there's also a question on the future of horse racing, to be quite honest.
Absolutely.
More horses have been killed again once the Santa Anita season started, and it just started. You know, 3 or 4 horses have already gone down. There was a number of horses that went down in Saratoga over the summer. So people are starting to push back on the thoroughbred racing. And, you know, the economic impact, if it goes away, the economic impact to Saratoga is going to be intense.
Meanwhile, don't they
catastrophic,
still eat,
I would say.
Don't they still eat horse in France? Or am I wrong about that?
Yes, I don't know.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
All through Eastern Europe.
What? Just, did I say something wrong?
No. Maybe we should read
we
another letter.
We might be digressing.
Rebecca says, impeachment. Hi, panel. Rosemary's right. Clinton broke the law and was caught and was rightly impeached. We don't have to like it. He was wrong. So is Trump. But now this needs to be proven. And it's so frustrating that the rules are fluid. The impeachment should be like a trial and not open to new rules from the majority, no matter what party. Thanks, Rebecca. And we heard from John, who said, panel, will all the talk about how quickly the impeachment process should be resolved or not, I am not clear as to where the new information will come from. Are we just waiting for people to step forward, for the press to investigate and reveal? Why are there not Senate investigators, both sides, working together, going deeper? John, and you know where John is writing to us from?
No.
Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Oh, wow. There we go.
Yeah,
we've heard
which has
John
probably
before.
A much more favorable temperature outside than we do
right.
Here
not
in
necessarily.
Which means he's getting up really early to listen, too.
Well, and
it's 2 or 3 hours.
I would imagine it's chilly there this morning.
And the new information he's talking about, we've just had Lev Parnas since the House wrapped up giving over tons of documents,
I
right?
I can't believe that there won't be other people coming forward.
Oh, we haven't heard from Lev Parnas' partner.
Igor.
Igor, right?
You know, I think that doesn't matter. I mean, those guys are sleazy. You know, we all know that they don't have the credibility of members of the State Department who've already said the same thing.
Except that, you know, there's so many pictures. Everyone says we don't know him, we don't know him. And yet everybody has pictures with him, so... And it was pretty damning.
Mike's point is right, though. It's that these witnesses are all being dismissed because they didn't have either direct knowledge or they didn't have direct knowledge with Trump. The only one who did was Sondland so far, right? Mm-hmm. And so everybody is being dismissed. And
right.
I despair, among other things, that there's any revelation or any person who could come forward that would change things.
Yeah, you could be right.
Possibly Zelensky.
You could be
right. But I can't see the president of Ukraine doing that.
Yeah. Okay, and then the last letter I have in front of me right now is from Dan, who says, wrong and strong. If the opinion is that politicians who walk the middle can't win, then why are we still looking to Uncle Joe to save and Bernie save us?
Mm.
Bernie all the way, says Dan.
This is the last email for now, but you can always write us, panel@wamc.org, panel@wamc.org. President Trump selling the U.S. to the global business community today in an address to the annual economic conference in Switzerland. Trump says America's economic turnaround has been nothing short of spectacular. The president addressed the annual World Economic Forum in Davos hours before the impeachment trial set to convene in Washington. His participation will test his ability to balance the irritation over being impeached with a desire to project leadership on the world stage.
Well, there are many studies that show that among the 10,000 to 15,000 lies that have been proven by the Washington Post, that this is another lie. I mean, we know that under the Obama administration, this country was doing extremely well. And so to say
by what measure?
By economic, the same measure he's looking at. And so the idea that he's turned this thing around is ridiculous. It's nonsense.
Well, if he doesn't win re-election, who's ever elected is going to probably be there when the reckoning comes. Yes. And they're going to get blamed for it, even though they, you know.
Well, that's a good reason not to win the election if you're a Democrat.
Yeah, right. I don't know if that.
Yeah,
is
but there
in
might
their
not
mind,
be anything but, left in another 4 years.
Well, I mean, Obama came in just as Detroit was crashing. You know, the motor and the automobile industry was crashing, and he was able to rescue it. And people forget that. And the trajectory of employment going down began 10 years ago. It continued when Trump got in there. Now, I heard today that Steven Mnuchin, this Treasury Secretary, is hinting that before the election, there's going to be another tax cut. You know, tax cuts are great until you have to pay the piper.
And we know that we've been paying the piper because this country is so in debt.
Yeah. It's hard to imagine that in the year 2000, when Bill Clinton, the impeached second president to be impeached, left office, there was actually a cash surplus in Washington. It's just hard to imagine.
And it's hard to imagine why we're not doing much of the same stuff right now. We know we don't have to have this kind of, because, oh, well, we have all this debt, everybody says. Well, really, because, you know, when you have debt, you have to pay interest. Mm-hmm. And if you're paying a lot of interest, which we are, then how about all the schools and all of the college loans and everything that could be taken?
And you know,
we had great shareholder value. That's what happened. A huge tax cut that was passed by the Republicans last year has added $1 trillion. Has added to the debt of $1 trillion, and that's
each year. It's a deficit. It's not just a one-time trillion.
Correct.
It's every single year another trillion.
There you go.
But it is.
But it wasn't necessary. Even the industry wasn't asking for cuts as far as they got.
They didn't spend it. They didn't turn around and spend it and invested in new factories.
No,
and
no.
Jobs.
No,
they,
that's
they
what that, that was the
pocket.
Promise. Right, that was the promise.
Except
oh,
for Patagonia.
Right, they put all their money into
climate change.
Well,
Patagonia is an awfully good
company.
Yes. I mean, it's well regarded. But do you remember the slogan during the original Clinton campaign in the 1992? It's the economy, stupid, right?
That's right.
It remains the economy, stupid.
It's always the economy.
And more important, I think, than the stock market being up is the low unemployment numbers. I mean, you hear him over and over say lowest black unemployment ever, lowest Latino America unemployment ever. And he's going to say that over and over.
But they have to work 3 to 4 jobs to pay the rent. Okay, that's the issue here. Yeah, there's low unemployment, but people have to work multiple jobs because the pay is so low in order to maintain their families and to support their families. You know, the fact of the matter is that it's always under the Democratic administrations that the economy is fixed. Clinton left us with money. George Bush got us into fake wars and spent it all, and the deficit
and tax
went
cuts.
Up.
He gave a
right.
big tax
and
cut.
And tax cuts. Obama comes in, fixes the economy, right? And look at where we are now. So, you know, it's a false equivalency when people start talking about the economy and how well people are doing and the low unemployment rate. Yes, you and I, all of us who were white, sitting in this room, middle class, upper middle class, with 401ks or, you know, whatever, the bank accounts, we're all doing okay because we're in the market. There's plenty of people who aren't in the market because they can't afford it because they get paid bupkis.
Huh? Will those people vote?
I think this year you will see a lot of those people voting because there's organizing going on the local level to register and get people out to vote.
I have such great respect for you. You know that, Libby. But
you think I'm nuts?
No, I think you're doing good work in terms of making an argument for the Democrats. But on the other hand, I think that the people who are not invested in the market are the least likely to vote. I think that's what – remember, folks, half the people in this country don't vote in our most popular election, which is the presidential election.
That's true.
And without question, the greatest number of those people are people without resources. So we know what this is about.
Well, there was a good piece over the weekend. I think it was a New York Times piece where they went out and talked to people who are regard themselves as liberal and progressives who own businesses, and they are terrified at the two front, you know, the two of the front runners in the Democratic field, and that would be Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders. But the fact that we have such a trillion, you know, multi-trillion dollar budget deficit facing us, and you hear them talking about Medicare for all, and you hear them talking about forgiving all student loan debt. It's frightening people. It may make sense to do that if you could come up with some way to fund it, but that alone is frightening people. It has people on edge, and that's very effective. In
How
other
many
words,
people did they talk to?
Well, they the way it is. You talk to a bunch, but then you use the one or two examples, and you say, this is the case here, this is the case
here.
So
not a scientific
But it was in the New York Times. It was in the New York Times.
Yeah, it was respectable.
Well, therefore, if it's in the New York Times.
Well, no. I mean, I think that they captured 100%. People who are otherwise progressive, who are terrified at things going down if we have to pay off student loans and we have to pay for Medicare for all. The beauty of what Trump did is he created this huge budget deficit, and now we can't do any of the things that the Democrats want to do because it'll just make it worse. And that's the message, and that's why people are frightened. So fear of an economic problem is working in his favor.
It's all about fear and hate.
You know, I love the idea that when a major television network goes into Iowa and they say, let's talk to MOS, man on the street. And then they take one guy and says, I love Trump. He's the greatest thing that ever was. What do you think? I hate Trump. And that's supposed to be representative of, of what's going on. It's nonsense, of course.
And Libby said fear and hate.
Yeah.
And I was thinking fear and loathing. Imagine what Hunter S. Thompson would be right about
God,
now.
God,
just imagine.
Didn't we have a guy here who looked a little like Hunter S. Thompson? Hunter Thompson. He disappeared somewhere. I don't know where he went.
Fear and hate are what politicians trade in. And Trump has cornered the market.
Well, hope also has gotten a lot of politicians.
Yes, there's four basic emotions: love, hope, fear, and hate.
Yeah.
Well, how about greed?
That's part of fear and hate.
What about anger?
I love the way voters want something different. They're always looking for something different, whether it's Obama or Trump, and yet they're afraid of change at the same time. Mm-hmm. The same people who are saying, "Oh no, if you change, if we go to Medicare for all, wow." Might work. And then what would we do?
But my IRA is looking so good lately.
Exactly.
Folks, right, yeah.
Hey, if your IRA is looking well, why don't you feed the lockbox? WAMC.org is the website.
Nice.
WAMC.org is the website. You know, Alan, our fund drive is scheduled to start on the 10th of February.
That's right.
That's a Monday.
That's a Monday.
Now, we could be in impeachment hearings, a trial. At that time. And we don't know how long it's going to go.
And even if Mitch McConnell has his way and puts Justice Stanton down early, there are major stories that are coming out every day of the week. Just can't keep up with it. Makes my head dizzy.
Yeah.
Dizzier.
Yeah.
What do you mean, yeah? So
I mean, you've been pretty solid, right?
Yeah. So I got that. So anyway...
No.
So anyway, even if the impeachment conviction trial is over, you're still going to need this radio station. Everybody, just get to a phone and say, I'm with you, Alan. I know you, and I know the station, and I want to do something for you.
You know, I'm shocked. Now, last year at this time, this lockbox last year in January.
Yes.
$720,000 we raised. That's incredible.
Right.
It's a million-dollar fund drive.
That's right.
So we started day one. You know,
I'd like to have $800,000 in the lockbox.
Today?
Well, I would like it today, but I'd like it by the time we 6 o'clock on the 10th.
Yeah? How's your 401k, Spain? You want to throw some money in?
Oh, I think it's time for everybody to reach into their pockets.
Right. Notice he didn't say himself, but that's okay.
No, he was reaching in his pocket.
The lockbox total as of early this morning was $420,426. So we have a way to go if we're going to make that $800,000 before the start of the drive.
Boy, you are so loquacious.
WAMC.org, secure online pledge. There's stuff, there are premiums and whatnot. And a reminder, now, we will be carrying, and I see that the House impeachment managers are speaking now because they'll have to be quiet once we get underway. And I believe that is actually going to be at 1. There is some lead up, but I think we'll be in Midday Magazine, and then we will have live coverage for you beginning at 1 o'clock.
Okay, and one difficult situation that we're in here at WAMC and programming, and that was we were scheduled to carry the governor of Massachusetts' state of the state.
Right, Governor Baker.
Yeah, Governor Baker. However, if the impeachment trial is on, you can't carry both. And so what we'll be doing is carrying the impeachment trial and putting Governor Baker's speech on our HD2, channel.
On our HD2 station. Right.
Yes.
Okay. And you can access that online. And we will have that for you. We're working out the technical details now in engineering, but that will happen.
Our cracked engineers are doing
it. So there's like C-SPAN 1 and C-SPAN 2, and there's WAMC 1 and WAMC 2.
That's correct.
Basically, that's pretty amazing. Have you ever checked it out?
Not yet, but I want to hear from Governor Baker.
All right. Our email address here is panel@wamc.org, panel@wamc.org, if you want to join us this morning. We do ask that you keep the letters brief and on topic, no links, no attachments, don't use abbreviations. Please proofread once, maybe twice before you send, panel@wamc.org. Now, we have a full half hour to go in the roundtable. We're going up till 11, and then we will have more roundtable stuff for you. We have Mike Spain, former associate editor of the Times Union with us, political consultant and lobbyist Libby Post, The Empire Report's J.P. Miller, investigative journalist Rosemary Armeo, WAMC's Alan Shartok. We'll take a break. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Roundtable. It's the Roundtable panel, 10:33 on a Tuesday morning. Alan Shartok, Rosemary Armeo, J.P. Miller, Libby Post, and Mike Spain on the panel today. And you join us by emailing panel@wamc.org.
And let's just not forget this lockbox. We all live there. Everybody, you're just the one little thing, and we'll be whole. So it's 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-9262, and put something in or go to WAMC.org. We're depending on you. We're counting on you. We're all in this together. Okay, back to you.
Back to you.
Oh, back to me. Okay, here we go. Stacy writes, and it's a brilliant letter. It's entitled, I'm with Alan.
Is there any more of the letter, or is that it?
No, I'll get to it.
Yeah, okay. Keep going. All right.
Thank you for that, Libby.
You're welcome.
I'm with Alan. I'm dreaming that Chief Justice Roberts will have a profile and courage moment. And today he will start the proceedings by telling the House managers to have their first witnesses ready on Wednesday, living on a prayer.
Exactly. Dreaming.
And being from the 21st District, Stefanik will lose in November. Go, Tedra Cobb. And please stop comparing Trump's impeachment to Clinton's. Trump's has to do with national security. Clinton lied about an affair. Yes, it was wrong. But if Ken Starr was not looking for any dirty, the affair would have stayed just that, an affair. There is a huge difference between Trump and President Clinton, and that's from Stacy.
Not in every respect.
I think what Trump did is a far more corrupt act than what Bill Clinton did.
It had more to do with the exercise of presidential power than what Clinton did, but it was a crime too. It was yep. Subject to impeachment.
Right. He obstructed justice. He tried to coerce witnesses, or he had people on his behalf try to coerce witnesses, and he lied while under oath, when he was being deposed, and that's all.
But Trump just doesn't go under oath.
Right, he lies all the time.
So. Right,
he
right.
learned that lesson. But,
and certainly it's abuse of power of a government employee over some using their power and position to for their own personal gain and pleasure. And all of that.
It's pervy. Come on.
And it was wrong. And calling him out on that and even impeaching him on that perhaps was reasonable because people were so righteous. If you look at the old tapes of the Republican Congress members and the Republican senators, back in 1999, they were just outraged at how awful it was. But they didn't think that crime, and it was a crime, rose to the level of removing him from office. And that has become the argument now for Trump. The crime, I mean, we're not, they're no longer denying that he held back aid. They're no longer.
Which they did for a long time.
Right, right. Yeah. They're not fighting any of the facts. They're just saying this is all true, but it's not impeachable.
Trump's motivation was to root out corruption and maybe get other countries to pitch in to help Ukraine. And that was his motivation. And he says the Democrats' motivation was to undo the proper election of 2016, not to uphold the Constitution. So if you look at just motivation, that'll determine what happens.
John says impeachment. 3 or 4 months ago, the panel was discussing whether or not impeachment was a good idea. Some said it was. Some said it wasn't. In my memory, this is very important in my memory, I do remember Alan saying that the real question was whether Republicans would step up and do the right thing. I wondered how he felt about that now. Is this an overall good thing? It seems to me, at a time, a very naive assessment by Alan. No offense meant, but most polls will always try to hold on to power no matter what. And I think that's right. I've never had any other idea that these guys weren't going to do what they had to do. However, I do think that there are some Republicans who really want their office, and as you say, John, want their office more than doing the right thing, more than profiles in courage. Mm-hmm. And I don't see any profile in courage coming up here. Am I wrong about that?
You know. I agree with
Alan. It's about maintaining their position and their power.
Sure.
That's all it is.
Arlo says, Rosemary is correct.
Brilliant letter. Aren't I supposed to say that?
God.
What'd you say?
Aren't I supposed to say brilliant letter?
I knew it. The reason Trump won in 2016 and likely will win in 2020 is that he dominates the news 24/7. Every time he breaks the rules, his base cheers him. They love sticking it to the establishment, unaware of the risk to democracy. Thank you very much. Okay. And then let's go to Patricia, who says, Stefanik, I live in the 21st district and know a few Republicans that tell me the Republican Party has left them and they will be voting Democratic. My hope is that there will be many more across the district and country with this sentiment, pulling the rug out from under Stefanik's feet and putting Trump out of office, says Patricia. Well, that's exactly the kind of thing I'm talking about. George says, panel, dear Alan, please give me a rating on the roundtable pessimist scale from 1 to Rosemary.
I love it.
That's great.
I don't think this impeachment is going to switch one vote. Let me just bring you back to the last letter we wrote.
That's good stuff.
Republicans tell me that they have left and they will be voting Democratic. That's what that last letter said. So that would make you wrong. I don't think this impeachment is going to switch one vote, regardless of the outcome. Neither you or I are going to change, are we? Those on the other side are the same way. If there's such people as undecided, I say they will break about 50-50. It's terrifying to me to watch Trump do his press availabilities, his ability to handle and control a gaggle of national caliber reporters is amazing. He's the most powerful blusterer I have ever seen. What was the name of the guy on Howdy Doody? Phineas T. Bluster.
Bluster.
Yeah.
Right.
He's the most powerful blusterer I've ever seen. He is totally untethered by facts or truth or what he said yesterday. He has the makings of a demagogic totalitarian, you would say fascist. I think fascism is just one flavor of totalitarianism. I accept the change. I'm scared. I'm 100% going to vote and going to get everyone I know to do the same and then cross my fingers. So how's I do? What's my rating?
Oh, just south of Rosemary status there, right?
Yeah, that's right. I notice he's not just sitting there doing nothing. He's going out and he's going to...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Paul says, doesn't his statute of limitation, doesn't Trump have to win in 2020 to avoid prosecution? If you can get another 4 more years of presidential immunity, you can run out the statute of limitations on his pre-presidential crimes. Talk about motivation. I've always agreed with that, by the way.
Yeah, I think David Soares has mentioned that more than once on this panel.
Okay. I mean,
when it comes right down to it, do you think that the Democrats are going to be able to coalesce behind whoever it is that emerges as their nominee? And the amount of unity they have will probably define the outcome, because there'll all be superstars who can go out and campaign on behalf of whoever wins the nomination. Mm-hmm. But today, Hillary Clinton came out and said she's not sure she's even going to vote for Bernie Sanders if he becomes the nominee.
She's been sitting there stewing over this for a long time.
Was that a quote from the documentary that just came out?
Right. It was just reported today.
So it was reported today. Who knows when it was that she said it?
Right.
So.
Well, it wasn't from like 4 years ago. It was from within.
Well, the last few years.
The last couple months.
It's going to be aired
in March. Oh, it's a documentary.
It's a documentary that's going to be aired in March. But apparently it was not that long ago.
Okay. Well, I also think she's on the cover of the Hollywood Reporter this week, and I think the interviewer may have asked her, do you still feel that way?
And she said, yes, it does, to accurately reflect her
opinion. Can you imagine you were going to be president of the United States and the actions of, in her mind, the actions of Bernie resulted in her losing?
And the Russians.
Yeah. Right.
And Jim Comey.
And Jim Comey, yes, I agree.
The list goes
on
and
on. And not listening to her husband.
Apparently everybody but Hillary.
No, it's true. Not listening to her husband,
I have to say. You know, Robbie Mook, you have to put a 12-year-old to run your campaign when you got Bill Clinton in your backyard.
Right, not going and doing, not going to Michigan and Wisconsin enough.
Karen says, Trump removal. Trump will not be removed. The deck is stacked against that. Hopefully this will be over fast. Then attention will be returned back to the election and to figuring out the best Democratic candidate that can beat Trump, who Karen says is Bloomberg. Karen, the bus driver.
Well, thank you, Karen. Our email address here is panel@wamc.org. panel@wamc.org. We've got to take a quick break here. Mike Spain, Libby Post, J.P. Miller, Rosemary Armeo, and Alan Shartok are on the panel. And we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. 10:44 is the time. It's the Roundtable panel with Libby Post, Rosemary Armeo, J.P. Miller, Mike Spain, Alan Shartok. You, of course, can join us. panel@wamc.org. Alan, the lockbox is open.
And it is. And Ray, how did we do the last time?
I'm sorry?
How did we do the last
time? Oh, in the last lockbox.
Yes.
Right. Last year at this time, 720,000 in the lockbox before the fun drive started.
I want to get to 800.
Daily hourly reports? I don't have that. I'm a guest host of a show.
I want to get to $800,000. That's what I want to do.
All right.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Which means that if somebody is out there and can put $1,000 in right now, it will help us a great deal. The phones are ringing here at WAMC. Help us out.
WAMC.org as well. That's a good way to do it.
Ness said, Rosemary and Trump. Good morning, panel. Rosemary must be on Trump's payroll. In your words, Rosemary, stop it. Please know that your doubt and negativity feeds Trumpers and handsome supports. Thank you. And that's from Ness.
Elliot. All right. So, all right, panel, let me ask you a question. Do you want optimistic news about SpaceX? Do you want to talk about the gun rally, or do you want to talk about the virus in China, which is scaring the daylights out of everybody?
Well, 20,000 people with guns went to Richmond to advocate for their position, and there was no violence. I didn't expect it. I'm not happy about it, but I think that that's worthy of it.
You didn't expect that there would be no violence?
I thought there would be violence.
And you're not happy that there was no violence?
I'm not happy that they were there demonstrating against a law that seems perfectly reasonable to me, and yet that's a strong voice and a strong demonstration, and you have to get some credit for that.
Yeah, it was largely a peaceful thing. There were fears, of course, of fringe militia groups causing trouble and whatnot, but it was as described by the AP, relatively festive mood. That's how they described it. Largely festive, and no real problems there. And so that's America, right?
Yeah, but
right to assemble.
Yes, yep. Right to assemble. We also have to recognize that not all those people were from Virginia.
And that's
they
bad.
They came from all over.
No, they
so
came
why is
over.
That bad?
No, it's about all these other people from outside of Virginia coming in to try to get the Virginia State House to act a certain way, and they will have no impact on the voting.
Wait.
They will have no impact on the election. of the people in the House. I mean, it's true, though.
How is this different than us going up to Stefanik country and campaigning or giving money to her opponent? Is that not the same? Of course we do that.
Of course we do.
It's okay when we do it, but not when they do it?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that in terms of constituent pressure, this is about constituent pressure on lawmakers to vote a certain way. In terms of constituent pressure, okay, having so many people coming from out of state means there wasn't as much constituent pressure as one would have thought because of the amount of people that were there.
Well, how do the legislators judge how many of those people are from out of state?
By the number of emails and phone calls they get from their district.
And that's not... That's the big picture here is that you have gun rights people yeah. who are doing the same thing that women are. They're marching for something they believe
yes,
in.
Yes, true.
And it's a
I
big
get that.
Image.
I understand that. But in terms of the impact on the elected officials, because so many people were from out of state, it remains to be seen whether or not they're going to vote against these measures.
The Virginia laws.
The Virginia lawmakers. That's all I'm saying.
And they do seem like, you know, when you hear about what they're trying to pass, which is background checks, outlawing military-style rifles, and taking away guns from people that judges deem are dangerous, these seem like the common sense, you know, gun control measures that maybe people could agree on, that gun owners could say, okay, this sounds good. But it looks like they're not excited about these measures, which seem to me pretty reasonable.
Mm-hmm. Well, am I alone here? I think that with all the advanced publicity that was on this rally and the importance of it to gun owners, that even with out-of-state people rolling in, I mean, 22,000, I mean, that's a pittance. You know, the NRA in the past could bring out 100,000.
Sure, compared to the women's marches, it is a pittance.
Yeah.
I
think 22,000 is a lot of people
on
this issue.
It's really not.
No. It's a lot of people in Virginia Beach, although not as many as during the summer.
And especially if they're all coming down there from different places.
Yeah. And the Republicans don't really protest. When you see, you know, I feel like Democrats protest in larger numbers and more often than Republicans. It's rare to see a Republican protest.
When do we have a right-wing protest before?
Never.
That's a really good anti-abortion.
Charlottesville
was a right-wing. No, I think that
lots more.
I think you need to make the distinction between the Brahmin Republicans. No, they don't get out and protest. But the rank and file, you know, gun-toting Republicans, they will.
The NRA Republicans versus the Brahmin Republicans.
Margaret writes to us, money for universal health care. Hi, the money for universal health care is there. We spend more money in this country for health care than socialized medicine countries do, with worse outcomes. Margaret from New Paltz.
Excellent point. But how do you flip the switch? How do you go from all the money that all the people are paying to private insurers and the health care system and come back with $36 trillion needed to make Medicare available to everyone?
Yeah.
It's not so easy.
No, take it out of the damn defense budget.
Right.
Yeah,
but
that's,
we
that'd
should,
be good.
You know, I mean, I think the way to do this is to go back to Obamacare, strengthen it,
fix it,
let people have their private insurance if they want it, and then the public option for those who can't afford it.
I agree. I think over time it was working.
I
think over time the health care providers will get very competitive. And when there's pressure on them to compete with the public option, and that'll benefit people. It'll be a transition.
Why should we let the greedy insurance companies take their and put them into the?
So what are you going to do? Just put them all out? Look at all the people that'd be out of work who work for insurance companies.
The tough thing, the insurance companies are in a tough position, though, because the cost of health care continues to go up. So when you're providing insurance for, you know, an $8,000 Toyota, okay, you can give modest insurance for that. But when you're insuring humans on costly surgeries and costly, you know, pharmaceutical treatments, I mean, that for them to be profitable entities, they have to charge high premiums. That's simply, it's the cost of healthcare.
It's the issue about why do they have to be profitable? Healthcare used to be nonprofit in this country. It wasn't about the bottom line.
Okay, but so you make them nonprofit. Someone has to pay for these the costly care, correct?
Well, I think there's a point at which you have to really make some decisions. I mean, for example, you're reading in the papers right now that there's a new drug out that will cure all cancers. All cancers. That's going to cost a lot of money. Mm-hmm.
Somebody's going to be very wealthy when that drug comes out.
You bet. Mm-hmm. You bet. Okay. Andrew says, hypothetical. I agree with Rosemary, like always, but there's a fun thought. What if, and that's a big if, the Senate takes this seriously by some miracle and gets all the evidence from the White House? Pence's name was dropped by the Giuliani guy, and I find it near impossible that Pence has been clueless through all of this. So if Trump goes down, I see Pence going down. Mm-hmm. All hail President Pelosi. It's a fun thought, at least.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Ain't going to happen. All right.
There was an episode in West Wing where the president became ill. The vice president had been removed from office for corruption.
No, he didn't become ill. His daughter was kidnapped.
Oh, his daughter was kidnapped. So he didn't want to be compromised. That's it. Well, Libby, you are the West Wing expert.
I am.
Very good.
On my 10th time.
And he handed over temporary reins to the opposite party's Speaker of the House of Representatives. Can you imagine a time when something like that could happen?
No.
Okay, and Roscoe says, when's the time? Hi, panel. When is the time for people to peacefully assemble around the Capitol, D.C., and demonstrate that we want a real trial with witnesses and documents? Thanks to everyone there. It's a good point.
That would be today.
Right now.
Yeah, right now.
About an hour, if you got.
Good Mitch point. Does not care.
Well, I don't know. They should have jackets on that say, I'm a Republican and I vote. Catherine, regarding those that don't have 401ks, don't vote. Alan, there are a lot of us who aren't in the stock market, but we all vote. Ladies and gentlemen, Catherine, in no way do I want to appear argumentative. But the truth is, 50% of the eligible voters in this country don't vote. So don't tell me you all vote. You don't. That simple.
Please but how many of that 50% have IRAs and how many don't? That's the question.
I bet the WAMC listeners vote 100%.
I think it's probably true that it's close to 100%.
Yeah.
Please don't lump all us economically challenged as aware of what's happening in our country, as not aware of what's happening in our country, and trying to make a difference by voting. Catherine, bless you.
Catherine? Duran?
McConnell's wife. Hello, panel. This is my first time writing. I believe that McConnell is equally, if not more, dangerous than Trump. Am I alone in thinking that McConnell is protecting his wife, Elaine Chao, mm-hmm. and her position in the cabinet? Why isn't her place in the cabinet a conflict? She's already been involved in investigations of corrupt behavior. Yep.
She's the transportation secretary?
Yep.
Carolyn says, what will it take? Good morning. We're all wonder and despair. What will it take to convert Republicans? If Trump lied under oath, what would they say then? Thanks from Carolyn. Well, you know, I've always thought that this is about power. It's about privilege. It's about economic classism. And the people who are in basically the part of the country that is making out the best don't want the newcomers. Don't want the newcomers making money, and I think, or being treated equally. I think that's what it's all about. Anyway, good morning, panel. Bob from Schenectady writes: I have to laugh whenever I hear someone say that women need to vote in 2020 to oust Trump. Some particular women voted in large numbers in 2016 to elect Trump in support of white supremacy.
Yes.
Maybe we should start.
Shame of my gender. Yep. I've said it many times.
Maybe we should start being more specific about which women we want to vote in November.
Black women.
In order to get Trump out of the White House. What'd you say, Rosemary?
Black women. They vote it right.
And many suburban moms.
Hey, Ray, I just like to say I think what SpaceX did yesterday or over the weekend was pretty substantial.
You know what? Mr. Spain, I appreciate you bringing this up. We have 3 minutes left for a little optimism here. SpaceX completed the last big test of its crew capsule before launching astronauts within the next few months up to the ISS. Company founded and led by Elon Musk mimicked an emergency launch escape Sunday in the skies above Cape Canaveral in Florida, and it blasted off as normal. Just a minute into the flight, the capsule catapulted off the top with a pair of mannequins aboard. This is a very big thing for the future of manned space travel, which looks like it's going to make a comeback in 2020. Now, who's not excited by that?
Me.
You're not excited by that?
I mean, look at all the great things that the original space program brought us, like Tang. you know, think about it.
That's right.
But aren't we sad that it's Elon Musk and not the NASA?
No, I think that that brings hope because it's not just Elon Musk. It's also Boeing and it's also other people.
Oh, yeah, they're good.
Yeah, I know. Right?
Well, let's put them in space. They've done so
but,
well.
But what I'm saying is it's going to spur all kinds of private investment. And even a NASA expert says they're going to see vast amounts of capital flowing in. There's going to be a whole commercialization of low Earth orbit, which can be used to develop pharmaceuticals. It can be used to develop all kinds of
this is
things.
Huge.
Yeah.
This is another step on our journey to the stars.
What's now when you said when
look, I'm filling like time. Walter Cronkite.
When you say this is huge though, what's
Bob Berman.
What's the big exciting step that they accomplished?
The emergency that well no they blew it up on purpose, but
no,
that
but the
emergency escape capsule worked as it was the last
designed.
Test before they actually put people on this thing.
They're going to put people on this, and where's it
going to
go?
Going to the International Space Station to start. But Elon Musk
like
has designs on Mars and elsewhere.
You have to pay like $50 million or something like that to hitch a ride.
And but you can go there, and can you hang out in space for a little while? Or it's a, like
not?
A round-trip ride.
You're up there. You might as well hang out.
Okay, we got a letter from
Michael.
It's
about feeling weightless.
We got a letter from Michael. I'm with Rosemary and with Alan. With Alan, without hope, the people perish. With Rosemary, 3 million more hoped and believed Democrats would win in 2016, but that didn't happen despite the popular vote. Pessimism isn't necessarily bad. It can be a strong motivator when coupled with hope.
Right. Hope and pessimism. Tom Waits album.
Do you want more or not?
You only got about 15 seconds. Go ahead.
Hi. Unemployment rate is misleading. The economy is not a good average for the good average of the American family. Lots of people have multiple jobs with no paid personal time to be used for registration, protesting, voting, or when their kid is sick. Please report on the average saving account balances for families. Also, in my opinion, the federal student loan interest rates are ridiculously high. This could be adjusted to provide relief, and thanks from Kate.
And thank you all for writing, and we appreciate everybody being here today on the panel. Mike Spain, Libby Post, J.P. Miller, Rosemary Armeo, and Alan Chartok, thank you all for being here. Thank you all for listening. We have much more roundtable ahead. We will have book picks coming up after the news.